with the Business Bunker.
Oh, well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 4th of November. And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Well, I'm not talking to you because you've said I've got to be brief.
I said you've got to be quiet.
Brief.
Brief.
Brief was
that is not something that enters your lexicon, is it?
No, I'm going to be very well behaved today.
Good grief.
May I ask who our sponsor is?
You can ask who our sponsor is, and today's show sponsor, with many, many thanks from us, is Kennedy Scott. And Kennedy Scott are a work to welfare and training organisation with offices all over Kent and the southeast of England.
They're doing a grand job, aren't they?
They are doing a very superb job, and we are much appreciative of their support and encouragement and their sponsorship of our show.
Is your aircon off?
No, the aircon is on.
It sounds like a little aeroplane in the
hangar. It does, actually, and I'm going to turn it off.
And a great stonking guest we've got today, she said, as he went to turn off the aircon. Haven't we? Got lovely guests.
Have we?
We do.
Do you not know who they are?
We've got Martin Riley.
We have got Martin Riley from us, from KCC.
On my left flanking me.
On your left flanking you.
And then we have Sarah Jane Heber Hall.
Do we?
You wouldn't want to say that after two vodkas, would you? Sarah Jane Heber Hall.
Yeah.
Coming in. And who else have we got?
We've got Tim Foraker. Sorry, Tim. Go on. No, you introduce yourself.
Yeah, he didn't write his name down.
Right.
Oh, he has in tiny writing.
Oh, yeah.
His little pixie writing. Have you got 4 acres?
Unfortunately, no, we don't. Not yet. One day.
Your ancestors must have done.
Presumably, or it could be French for acre, possibly.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't think of that?
No, I didn't. Okay. We like a little bit of French on the show.
Anyway, yes, and also joining us on the phone, we have Jonathan Jenkin of the Nuclear Decommissioning Agency, and all will become clear after we've talked to Martin. Talked to Martin about that from KCC, who have a bit of an announcement for us shortly. But we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us while we're on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we've already had a couple of dozen tweets in, and I shall be reading them as we go through the show. But do feel free to tweet in and talk to us while we're on air. I think we'll kick straight off, unusually, with our first guest, because we've got such a packed show today and we need to get a lot of this done. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show Mr. Martin Riley from Kent County Council. Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for making it here in plenty of time. We had a bit of a scare there with the trains for a little while, but it all worked out perfectly.
I do apologise.
No, well, there's nothing to apologise for. You were here perfectly on time and
you were
ready to rock and roll.
So you came by train, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, Tim came by train as well.
Which station did you come off at?
I came off at Folkestone West.
Okay. And then bus or?
Yeah.
And did you come on Shanks's pony, Tim?
No, taxi.
I didn't know at that age if you'd know what Shanks's pony is.
Are you implying that he's young?
He's young.
He
hasn't had any breakfast or lunch. I'm worried about him.
She's mothering you already, Tim. Sorry about that.
I'm going to rustle him up a sandwich in a minute.
Anyway, enough of that nonsense. We're going to talk to Martin because KCC have got something that they've come along to tell us about this morning, which is really interesting and sounding cool. So why don't you tell us all you need to tell us, Martin?
Thank you, Paul. Well, I'm here to talk about the Marsh Million Scheme, which is a £1 million business development fund, which has been set up by ourselves, Kent County Council, Magnox are the major contributors, Shepway Council and Ashford Borough Council. Mm. We've set aside that £1 million to invest over a three-year period, and we're well into that programme now, almost halfway through. And we've operated a small loan scheme of up to £10,000 for the last 12 months. And the two things were going to happen. One is that loan scheme is going to be increased in terms of the maximum amount.
Ah, okay.
Up to £50,000.
Oh, wow.
Which will take effect from November the 11th. And secondly, as part of the scheme as well, we are going to be launching, in conjunction with our partners, a scheme called the Marsh Million Economic Project Scheme, which is a grant scheme which can go up to £100,000, minimum is £10,000, for projects which are going to increase the economic viability of the Romney Marsh area. And there can be a whole range of different sorts of projects, from tourism projects to training projects to environmental projects. Applicants can be from the private sector, but equally they could also be from volunteering community social enterprises, and in some cases the public sector. So for example, we will accept applications from schools as well, where they're doing things which are quite clearly linked to economic development type activities.
That's fantastic. So the baseline amount has increased to £50,000. Yes. You've now widened the scope of the kind of organisations that can get help with that funding. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the terms of the funding? Is it in the form of loans? Has it got to be fund matched, matched funded?
Yes, that's right.
Match funded. And those kind of things. Okay. So maybe fill us in with some of those details.
Well, the 0% loan is the up to £50,000, which is Marsh Million Business Loan Scheme. Repayable over a 5-year period. It's 0%. There are no other charges involved. So what you borrow is what you pay back. The grant scheme itself will also be... the grant scheme is going to fund up to 80% of a project. So it is quite high range, and again with the loan scheme we can go up to 80% of the eligible cost. So to take your example, if it's a £10,000 scheme, just for ease of purpose,
yeah,
and you wanted £8,000, you'd come up with £2,000 yourself,
right? Okay.
And that can be £2,000 as in a variety of different ways. It can be bank loans, it can be funds you've raised yourself, it can be for equity or business angels.
Yeah,
it shows a commitment from the applicant, and it also shows that actually there is people behind the project, there is funds behind the project, because obviously that's always the difficulty with any loan scheme or any grant scheme which is managed by the public sector, is that it needs to be in conjunction with what the business community wants, but also it has to be supporting and sustainable.
It has to be viable, doesn't it? This is taxpayers' money you're loaning out here, so it's got to be something that's solid and viable.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you know, because we don't want to be losing loads of money. We've got loads of ways we can do that without giving it away like that. No, absolutely. One of the interesting things, talking to numbers of small businesses, of course, people that are in startup phase have always struggled with things like that, because, you know, they don't have a lot of track record and therefore they haven't got a lot of money in. That's starting to radically change now. And although there are some kind of hurdles, I think that there may be ways of making this kind of come together, because a lot of people now are using things like Funding Circle and peer-to-peer lending and stuff like that as a way of raising funds. So by allying the two things together, you can actually bring in the 100% of the money you need using those two vehicles. And I know a lot of people in this area in Kent, in fact, that have recently availed themselves of quite a significant amount of funding from Funding Circle and other peer-to-peer lenders. And it's, you know, so putting the two things together is really going to crack the back of it.
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, if somebody had told me 2 years ago about crowdfunding and how successful it would be, a number of the schemes that we've been involved with in other programmes that we manage at KCC, particularly innovative or research and development like link companies, crowdfunding is often the preferred route these days.
Yeah.
And it's very surprising. From my point of view, 2 years ago, I would not have expected it to have been a mainstay of many of the funds that received or much funding or supporting or supporting alongside us. I would not have expected that 2 years ago. It's definitely a viable option for many people, and they seem to be as successful in that in terms of raising money as it is for other sorts of funding schemes now.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely true. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it? As the banks have got more and more useless, people have stepped into the marketplace. I mean, we do have challenger banks obviously coming along, but out here there isn't much of a sign of them. They're fairly much a phenomena of London and some other big metropolitan areas currently. I'm sure that will change over time, but, you know, we can't wait for them to arrive out here. The mainstream banks aren't lending anything to anybody apart from the government. And all of a sudden, funding by peer-to-peer lending and equity funders and stuff like that has just taken off. And I'm sure that, you know, there'll be problems somewhere down the line. There always is. But currently, it seems to be working very well. So with the scheme, the new relaunch Marsh Million that you've got, That's cool. I was fiddling about with my technology that was going wrong, so I wasn't entirely paying attention. You may have covered this already. Is the Marsh Million overall fund changed in any way?
No, I mean, the £1 million that we have is the one that for the three-year period. To give you an idea, we've allocated around 10% of the programme so far, and we've got 1.5 years to go, so we've got a lot of money still available.
Sure.
We certainly anticipate with the economic projects economic project scheme itself, because of it has a higher amount, and because the increase in the maximum amount for the loan scheme as well, we do anticipate the take up being much greater.
Right.
Our experience has been of operating a scheme very similar called Small Business Boost for up to £50,000 across the East Kent area in general, that the take-up has been much, much higher.
Yep.
The £10,000 to £50,000 is a gap, as you said.
Yeah.
There are options, particularly for start-up businesses, from government schemes, which can fill that £10,000. It's the £20,000, £30,000, £40,000, which is the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's often the gap that people actually have, and therefore, our experience has been practical rather than research driven, is that actually there is a huge market for that, and we certainly anticipate there being a much higher take up of that scheme.
Right.
Now it's been expanded, and also the economic project scheme, we also anticipate not hundreds of applications, but a significant number of applications for that scheme.
Sure, no, absolutely. One of the issues that we have down here in the Romney Marsh area, of course, is that it's a much more sparsely populated area of Kent than the rest of Kent, and consequently there aren't as many businesses here, which is one of the problems, because that's what makes it a higher unemployment area and things like that.
And transport, dare we say, really?
Yeah, it's not the best in the world. Although you can get places on alpaca.
You can.
And on the Romney Marsh Light Railway.
Saddle. Where would that take you, the Romney Marsh?
No, actually, no, funny enough, you laugh at that, but until recently, until they built the new school in New Romney, the Marsh Academy, the kids used to have to go to school in Hythe, and they used to go to school on the Romney Marsh and Dymchurch Model Railway. That was the only way of getting them to school.
Martin, did you come here on the Romney Marsh?
I have been on the Romney Marsh, but not today, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Do your legs hang over the edge?
But it's interesting you say that, Paul, because one of the things that we do anticipate with the economic project scheme is community transport projects as well.
Right,
that
cool.
will be included.
Oh, fantastic. Cool. Go on, Sarah.
Sorry, I just had a quick question. How do companies actually apply for this? Do they fill out applications, and then what's the process to get the funding if it's agreed?
Okay. The application process is initially online. Basically, we have a pre-application, full application. Pre-application is 2 pages of A4, submitted on the KCC website. We do an assessment. If the project is eligible and we want people to proceed, then we provide them with a link to the full application, which again is submitted online. So quite a lot of online information is provided. We found that is better for, it's certainly something that people can use. We obviously have technical problems like everybody does.
Sure, of course.
But it's been quite an effective way. We operate it for all the other programmes that we operate at the same time. So the turnaround time between a pre-application is maximum of 7 working days from the time you've submitted the pre-application to being allowed to go on to the full application stage. We are encouraging people now to submit their applications within 2 months.
Right.
We usually give them up to 3 months. We find that simply because obviously times and situations change, and if people, from our experience, do not submit within 3 months, it's fairly unlikely they will submit at all.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And we want that sort of turnaround as well.
Mm. So, Martin, if they go to www.kent.gov.uk and then they search Marsh Million, that will come up.
That will just come up for the Marsh Million pages. The actual website with the new material in will only be operational on the 11th.
Okay.
So at the moment it has the current information for the current scheme, but it doesn't have the grant scheme on there yet.
Okay, what we'll do, as we do with everything on the Business Monk Radio Show, we'll put a link, and there is a link already to the KCC website with the old scheme on it, on the website at the moment. As soon as you go live with your new website, we will put that up as well. Okay. So that people that want to find it can find it by just going into the Kent Business Radio website or today's show, which is show number 198.
And if you give us a nudge on it and send us the link, we'll tweet it out for you.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
We'll do that.
Tim?
Yeah, I'd just like to say what a fantastic scheme this sounds like. I wish I knew about this when I was starting my business sort of 6 years ago. £50,000 interest-free really does sound incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot, you know, to be fair, KCC have done an awful lot in terms of business support. They have different schemes in different parts of the county, because you have the East Kent Development Fund, the Tiger Fund in North Kent, and various other schemes. So there are lots of business support schemes on offer in the county, and loads of money has been doshed out, and some very successful businesses have been growing on the back of a lot of it. Which I guess is one of the reasons why we have such high employment in Kent and such a thriving business community of 68,000 small businesses.
It's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. May I ask, Martin, what kind of businesses are you seeing coming through at the moment?
A wide variety, actually. I mean, I just passed on coming here today the two organisations or two companies that we funded, Domination Paintball. And Faye Trimmings, which is next door here.
Yeah.
And so we fund a quite a wide range. There are obviously some things that we don't fund, but there are, it is quite limited. I mean, for example, we don't fund franchises.
Right. Okay.
A franchise set up. So wanting to purchase a franchise, we don't fund that.
Okay.
But more or less, we fund the whole range of manufacturing, service and tourism related businesses using the Marsh Million scheme.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the first companies that raised money from the East Kent Expansion Scheme was a local manufacturing business, HV Wooding.
That's right.
Over at Hythe. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they raised a substantial amount of money.
They
I think it was
indeed,
a million
yes.
quid or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Fantastic. Look, Marcy, thank you so much for that. That's absolutely brilliant. We will help promote that because it's a fabulous scheme, and we think it will help the businesses in the southeast area of Kent and Shepway. We're going to talk to somebody else involved in the scheme in a moment. We need to get him on the phone. So before we do that, I think we're going to play some tunage.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I haven't had much for lunch, but I fancy a bit of a spirit. You know, a little bit of... Yeah. Got any spirits?
No.
Something in the sky?
No, I haven't.
Are you going up and round the bend then?
This is for you, Jules. Up around the bend.
Is it Creedence? Clear
it
water?
Is. It's just for you, though.
You can find need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release, or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures, independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Temp Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay, and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 4th of November. And joining us on the phone now, we have Mr. Jonathan Jenkin of the Nuclear Decommissioning Authority. Jonathan, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Paul.
It's a pleasure to have you on the Business Bunker Show. We've just been hearing from Martin Riley of Kent County Council about the extended scheme for the Marsh Million. Now, we believe that you guys are heavily involved in that.
We are indeed, yes. You can say a little bit about the NDA.
Yeah,
we were set up to decommission the UK's 19 civil public sector sites, including Dungeon SA.
Right.
So that's our core mission. But we recognise that that programme of site closures will have economic and social impacts on local communities. So part of our remit is to help mitigate those impacts by working in partnership with other agencies and providing targeted match funding for significant projects.
Right.
And that includes the Marsh Million, where we're contributing £500,000 over the next 3 years.
Fantastic. And just so that people know, you guys are decommissioning the one of the local power stations. Roughly how long does that take?
From beginning to end, the process is very long. It's over a century.
Really? Wow.
But that happens in a number of phases. So first of all, you have something called defueling, when you take the fuel out of the reactor. You then have an initial program of decommissioning. It then enters what we call a state of care and maintenance for up to 80 years. And that allows the radioactivity on the site to decay naturally over time to a safe level where the remaining structures can be taken down and the ground returned to its preferred use.
Fantastic. I mean, that's a bit of a fourth bridge job by the sounds of it, though, because you're decommissioning Dungeon SA at the moment, is that right?
We are, yes.
And we've got B and C to go.
Yes.
So you're going to be here for quite a while, it seems.
Well, somebody certainly will be, yeah. I mean, our main focus at the moment is to get Dungeon SA into that state of care and maintenance that I mentioned.
Sure.
In the next decade.
Cool. And of course, your primary reason for talking to us this morning, of course, is your involvement in the community projects, as you said, and you're putting in a significant amount of money into the local area. Can you give us some views on what you as an organisation are looking for in terms of the kind of things and the kind of schemes that you're particularly keen on?
Sure. Well, ultimately, we're looking in partnership with the other agencies to help leave a positive economic legacy on the Marsh when Dungeon SA closes. So in respect to the Marsh Million, really the aim is to encourage and revitalise business growth on the Marsh through the loan scheme and the recently launched grant scheme. Some other initiatives that we're helping to sponsor, we're funding the Romney Marsh Partnership Coordinator, who's doing an excellent job with the other agencies represented on the partnership in helping to coordinate and stimulate that local economic activity. We've also funded Business Incubator Centre at Romney Resource Centre.
Oh, at the Romney Marsh Resource Centre, yeah.
Indeed, yes. So again, provided that much needed physical space as well as that direct business advice and support. And we've recently been involved in the launch of a scheme called Apprentices on the Marsh through Marsh Academy. So it's very much focused on skills, very many skilled members of the workforce as well who will be joining local economy over the next few years. So try and stimulate those skills, economic and business growth, and leave that positive legacy.
Did I see something about EDF doing an apprenticeship open day locally, or am I imagining that?
Quite possibly. I believe EDF operates the B station.
Yeah.
We're responsible for the A site, but I do believe that EDF...
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that EDF on their Dungeness B station last weekend, I think, had an open day for apprentices to work in nuclear engineering, which was interesting and fascinating. And I believe I saw that they took on something like 50 apprentices.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm.
Cool. I don't know if you know the answer to this even. I mean, is there a long-term plan for the site there? What happens to it once you've kind of prettified it, for want of a better technical term?
Prettified.
Prettified it. That's a technical term.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah. So as I said, ultimately, the remaining stretch of the site will be dismantled, and the waste will be taken from the site, and it will be restored to as part of the shingle. That's the current plan. Now, obviously, there's a very long time between now and that final end state.
Sure.
Ultimately, the preferred end use and preferred end state, if there is any change, would be agreed in consultation with the local community.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And I mean, it was a bit of a silly question, because obviously it's quite a long way off before anything like that happens. I just wondered.
May I ask, Jonathan, I was reading that we're expecting lots of power cuts and things because of the demand by consumers for power, and that we perhaps can't keep up. What would you think about that?
Well, ultimately, that's probably a question for government. In terms of the NDA estate, we have one operating nuclear power station. That's Wilver on Anglesey. And that was originally scheduled to close in 2010. We've successfully extended that life over a number of phases, and it's now scheduled to close at the end of 2015. So from our point of view, we're making what we believe is a significant contribution to security of supply beyond that was originally envisaged. But of course, I can't speak for other generators.
Yeah, no, of course.
Are you advising us to go out and get a wood burner and some candles?
No, I'm certainly not advising that, but it's probably best answered by others.
Yeah, for sure. So, at the moment, you guys are helping the local community via these other agencies, presumably all of that's done via these other agencies. You don't have anything that you're directly doing yourselves.
No, we tend to work in partnership. As I mentioned before, I mean, part of our remit is to help mitigate the impact of site closure.
Right.
We can't do that alone, nor should we. The other agencies I mentioned have the lead responsibility, but we do work in partnership with them. We do provide that match funding. One of the crucial things, actually, that we can do is to make clear the timescale for decommissioning those sites, so that the relevant agencies can take account of that in developing their plans.
Sure.
As I mentioned before, yes, of course, there are negative consequences associated with site closure. However, there are also opportunities. There's a very skilled, qualified and experienced workforce at Dungeness A, and at some point in the next few years, those skills will be available in the labour market. So it's about joining up the dots, really, as much as anything else.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And, I know that the local people here down in Southeast Kent are really appreciative of the work and the money that you guys are putting in to try to regenerate the local community and the local economy.
Well, we're very delighted to help, and I can genuinely say I think the way that the agencies have been working together, exemplified with the Romney Marsh Partnership, has just been excellent.
Yeah.
So it's been a genuine pleasure to help and be involved in it.
Cool. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker this morning or this afternoon and telling us about what you're doing there and how you're helping the local community. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again, hopefully.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Cheers, Jonathan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Very interesting.
Jonathan Jenkin there of the Nuclear Decommissioning Agency, part of Magnox, who are the people locally doing
that? Is it me, or does it all feel a bit sinister and a bit Doctor Who-ish?
Well,
people going around in suits and things.
That's none of that.
Decommissioning.
You read the Daily Mail, that's your problem.
How does he turn it all into shingles?
Yeah, it's nonsense. I don't know if you know, but
no, I don't.
A long, 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 long time ago, I worked in the nuclear industry.
You've sort of done everything.
I know.
Was that when you were about 8 and you were crawling through tunnels?
I was eight.
What
yeah.
did they make you do something?
No,
evil?
No, I had to put the plutonium rods in myself by hand. No.
Perhaps that explains your.
Yeah. My
your,
greenness.
The
fact that I glow in the dark. Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah. No, cool. As Jonathan said, Magnox have put over £500,000, over £500,000 into this. So half the money, basically, of the Marsh Million has come, you know, from them rather than from local taxpayers or whatever, which is cool. Mm. And all good stuff. Good, good, good. Let's crack on. I want to make mention of this. Last week on the show, we had Shirley Mansfield,
yes.
author of Grown Up Business,
yep.
and she had a competition.
She did.
And I've got a winner to announce.
Aww.
Who is it?
And the first signed book, Grown Up Business, has been won by Bridge Trust. And that's all I've got is a Twitter handle. It's at Bridge Trust One. And they came up with a grown-up business is always looking to grow up some more. And just because Bridge Trust is a charity doesn't mean to say we're not a business too. Absolutely right.
Good one.
So Shirley has said, if you could get Bridge Trust to DM her on Twitter with an email address, she will make contact with them and arrange to send them the book. So I will get that organised. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, you can find it at Shirley's website, which is www.grownupbusiness.com. And there's also a launch party tonight in Sittingbourne, and I think it's at the Sittingbourne Golf Club, if I remember
rightly.
That's right. And there's a couple of really great speakers turning up to talk at that event, and there's a couple of spare tickets. So again, if you go to the website, you should be able to blake yourself a place there.
Of course, we had two winners last week, which was the fabulous Adrian Kearney and Alex Waterton.
We did indeed.
They were the best tweeters for Shirley Mansfield, and they're going tonight as guests.
And if you want a chance to win the book, what you have to do is you have to tweet the following: a hashtag grown up business is, and then complete the phrase, and the best one Shirley will pick and send you a signed book. So you have to tweet a hashtag grown up business is, complete that sentence in some kind of meaningful, jocular, fabulous way, and you will win a prize.
Yeah. Cool. I've got the book by my bed and I'm going to be reading it soon.
Or someone's going to read it to you.
You're
going to get Gav to read it to you.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, cool.
He's too busy reading.
I'll tell you
book.
What we haven't mentioned yet. We haven't mentioned any tweets, and we've got loads and loads of tweets piling up.
And so have you seen how many emails I've got?
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to run through a couple of tweets. Bridger Howes have said they're listening in for the first time, and you can find them on the Twitter at Bridger, BRIDGERHOWES, all one word, Bridger Howes. ADM Computing from Canterbury are listening in. A new listener, Rupert Connolly, known as Roop Connolly on the Twitter. Our good friends at FKeys, Microsoft training people over there in Medway and Canterbury, are also listening in. Zoe Cairns is listening, and I've got an email from Zoe to talk about an event she's got going down soon, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment.
Laura Burton Lawrence is listening in after a long jog. She's having her lunch.
Yeah, well, she does a bit of marathon running, Laura, doesn't she? Indeed.
Hi, Laura. She's without Barrister Broker, though.
Why, where's he gone?
I don't know, he's gone.
She left him behind.
Probably.
She beat him last time. She beat him in an official marathon. Should I say that on the radio? Sorry, Russell. Telcare, the lovely, gorgeous telecoms providers from Rochester, are also listening
in. And they're
in.
Saying hello to Sarah Jane.
They do indeed. They say, hello, Sarah Jane.
Hi, Lisa. Glad you're listening.
They are actually saying, Paul Andrews, she was a super volunteer at King's School Careers Fair with Telcare.
She was indeed.
Yeah. Yes, we were there. It was good, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. It was brilliant. Yeah, we had a fabulous day there. And then we had, if you remember, we had young Harry from the school come
Harry
on the show.
Down a storm.
Yeah, well, somebody started a hashtag. He came on the radio show, for those that weren't listening to it, a young pupil from King's School, Rochester. And he was so taken away, somebody started a viral hashtag of Harry for PM.
Yeah.
Actually, which was cool.
Lawyer Fair are tweeting in as well, having some cheeky hobnobs.
They're having a hobnob.
Hobnob. I'd love a hobnob.
I bet you would.
I really would.
Yeah. Louise Henley, who is the chair of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, has tweeted a big thank you to the Herb's Palsy Group and Juliette Shand, because they have caused some of their sponsors to donate some raffle prizes for this week's up-and-coming awards ceremony in Sittingbourne on Saturday night. And we've got something to talk about on that later on as well.
Chris Pollard, Chris Connect, has floated up the mountain after a hammam. Obviously, he's in Turkey having a hammam.
They're listening in Turkey, aren't they?
Yeah, he's probably got a little hammam towel.
You scoffing that donkey cheese, mate?
Probably is. He's feeling soapy and chilled.
Is he? I'm not surprised. He's up a mountain in Turkey.
And writer the Josie Maguire also on the mountain.
We have White Label Video, who are another new listener. White Label Video on the Twitter. Hi, Vanilla Web. Would be great if you could give us a shout out on the Business Bunker Show. We're a video, film, and production team in Tunbridge Wells, so consider yourself shouted out. There you go, White Label Video. And Gullen's Employment. I guess this will be the lovely Amanda, and she says, "Employer alert. A case has just been decided today which tells employers to include overtime in holiday pay calculations." And she said, "If you want to see more details of the ruling, if you go to the BBC News website, there's a story about it on there right now. So if you're at all worried about that, and you should be, that's obviously some case study that has just happened, and we need to be aware of that. So thank you, Amanda, for letting us know that."
Also, on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, which was 11 to 12, and it's every Tuesday, 11 to 12, pre-Business Bunker, we're about to launch next week the new allergy laws that are coming in. They're coming in by stealth in December, and most or all eateries are now going to have to list ingredients in food because of allergies. It's going to be a huge, huge thing. If you need to get some advice on it, please contact at Scoff Quaff, or go on to www.scoffquaff.co.uk. We have some free courses up for grabs.
Cool. I said I would mention Zoe's workshop, and I am about to do that now. There is a free social media event, Getting Ready for 2015 Using Social Media in Your Marketing Plan. Come along to our upcoming free event being held in Ashford on the 28th of November from 1 till 4 p.m. The free event, I think the event is free and has no cost attached to it. I might be wrong, but I think it's free. The free event has so much value and content packed in for one afternoon. Zoe Cairns will be sharing some latest strategies, techniques, and reasons why you may consider using social media in 2015. The agenda is as follows: 12:45 arrival, 1 o'clock networking, 1:15 introduction, 1:20 using social media in your marketing plan for 2015, 2 p.m. case studies of Kent companies currently using social media, 20 past 2 social media content calendar. Every attendee receives a calendar. 20 to 3 networking, 3 o'clock finish or stay behind to hear about Zoe's inner circle and some advanced social media tips. And you can book your tickets by going to https://zcsocialmedia2015event.eventbrite.co.uk, and we will put that link on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can find it easily. So thank you for that, Zoe, and good luck with that workshop. I know it'll be a cracker because your workshops always are. It is, in fact, on the afternoon of the 28th of November, and it's in Ashford. And I think, I'm fairly comfortable in saying this, I think it's in conjunction with the Invicta Chamber of Commerce, in which case it's probably their training rooms in Singleton, probably. But you'll find out from the website, but I imagine that's where it is. Okay, and whilst I'm talking about the Invicta Chamber of Commerce, they have in fact been shortlisted for a national award or two. The Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce is celebrating after receiving confirmation that it has been shortlisted for two prestigious national awards. The British Chambers of Commerce hold annual awards amongst the 53 accredited chambers nationally, highlighting the excellent work being done across the country. Winners will be announced at the awards ceremony to take place on Thursday the 27th of November at the Pavilions at the Tower of London. What a fabulous location at this moment. Yeah.
Little beefeater.
Yeah, and all those poppies and
little
everything.
Little raven.
Yeah. Kent Invicta has been shortlisted for two awards: Excellence in Membership Services and the ultimate award, Chamber of the Year. Yeah. Kent Invicta Chief Executive Joe James said, "This is the first time I've entered Kent Invicta into the awards, and we are absolutely delighted to be selected as a finalist in both the two categories that we entered. We have a fantastic team here at the Chamber who are all dedicated to supporting Kent's business community, and it's very rewarding that their efforts have been recognised at a national level." That is fantastic. Well done to the entire team at Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce being nominated first time out for two potential national awards. Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now?
We're going to have spirits.
You're desperate for this, aren't you?
Yeah. There's a little spirit in the sky.
Right, now, I picked this song because our next guest is going to be Tim Foraker when we come back from this. Yeah. And Tim is the founder and CEO of a company called ClearBooks. And ClearBooks are a cloud-based accounting package.
I see where you're going.
Do you see where I'm going with
cloud,
this?
Cloud.
Do you see where I'm going
sky,
with this?
Sky. Little bit of spirit.
Do you see? It's good, isn't it?
On a good vodka. Thing. On a cloud. Lovely.
Join in the conversation with hashtag Daily Bread from Mike Waterton.
JobsInKent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 4th of November, with me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jules Serkin. That was the Doctor and the Medics version.
I liked that,
of Spirit in the Sky.
And what was the original one?
That was Norman Greenbaum, was it not?
I think that was my favourite one.
Yeah, it was, but we didn't have that on the system. We have 95,000 songs on the system, but not that one.
And not Cat Stevens. I'm going to bring some in on a memory stick.
Yusuf.
Yeah.
What's his name now? Yusuf.
Mohammed Yusuf.
No, it's not. Yusuf something or other.
It's Mohammed Yusuf.
No, it's not. No, it's Yusuf something or other.
Yusuf Abraham.
Something like that, yeah. So did you search for that?
No, I will now, though, to annoy
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just so I can be a know-it-all.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Hey, listen, we're going to speak to our next guest, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show Mr. Tim Foraker, founder and chief executive of ClearBooks.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for the entrance music there. I feel like I'm a boxer.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's a bit loud and leery, isn't it? Yeah, it's quite cool. It's quite funky. And I couldn't find anything. There's cheese and cheese. I was going to play Hey You, Get Off My Cloud, but everybody does that when you talk about cloud computing, so I thought I'd do something a little bit different.
Innovative.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, enough of that nonsense.
Yusuf Islam.
Thank you. See, I knew you were wrong.
I know, I'm always wrong.
I'll accept your apology.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you, Tim. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you, and then we can talk a bit about ClearBooks and how you got from one place to another and where we're going from there. Yeah,
sure. So, well, the quick overview of ClearBooks is, you know, we provide cloud accounting software for small businesses. We've won a couple of awards. We also provide cloud payroll and HR software, so it's kind of really easy to use. But the story about how ClearBooks came about and my kind of, you know, career path goes back to when I was at Sixth Form College.
Right.
I met a couple of guys, who as 18-year-olds left college and set up a business, which they still run today, and it does web hosting, web advertising. And I took a more conventional path. I went to university. But when I graduated, I actually went to work for my friend's company.
Cool.
And that's really where I picked up my web development skills and learned how to make websites.
Right.
And so that was going well, and I decided I could do that myself. So I set up my own company, and it was turning over some decent revenue as a kind of 21-year-old.
And what kind of company was that, Tim?
So I was making websites that monetized it through kind of ads.
Google ads. AdSense and something. Yeah.
And it was doing well, but I was a little bit concerned that I didn't really have a profession to fall back on. I knew I was using kind of tactics that were kind of short term and potentially would, you know, the revenue might dry up. So I decided to go for accounting and join KPMG and train as a chartered accountant. And so that's what I did. And that's where I picked up my kind of accounting background.
Right.
And as soon as I qualified, I had an opportunity to work in the city for a little bit. So I moved on into the city. And it was actually there when I was working in London that I was talking to my old colleague from Sixth Form College, who I worked for at one point, about an online invoicing system that he built for his brother's construction business.
Right.
So he was fed up of his brother's kind of having Word documents, copying and pasting, forgetting to change the customer's name, forgetting to email out the invoice. So he built this organized online system.
That sounds so familiar.
So he built this system, and I was still running my business on the side all the time, although, you know, it didn't turn over much money. It was still a limited company and I had to do the accounts for it. So I built this bookkeeping system, online bookkeeping system.
Right. Okay.
And we basically, very quickly, having had this conversation, came to the realization, you know, if we stick these two systems together, the invoicing and kind of the accounting engine, we've got the crux of an accounting app.
Right.
So I resigned from my job immediately and we started ClearBooks, and that was back in 2008.
I love that. I love stories like that. Because it was that simple, wasn't it? You just, yeah, bang, 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 bosh, here we go.
Well, we thought no one else was doing it at the time. And of course, you know, you get started and you kind of find this company here and then there's this other one there. And
but not like you.
Not like us. No, we're unique.
But that's just, you know, looking at that as an issue, though. It's one of those things that I kind of don't worry about, because in fact all that does to me is it sends a signal that there is a market. Yeah, if other people are doing it too, you know, I do see lots of people that come to me when I operate as an angel investor, and you can tell they've come up with a business purely because nobody else does it, and they go, "We've done this because nobody else does it," and you go, "Do you think that might be because nobody wants it?" And they go, "Really?" You go, "Yeah, because you know, hedgehog toothbrushes or whatever they've come up with aren't a big market," and they go, "Oh yeah, but nobody else does it," and you go, Yeah. So the fact that there's competition in the marketplace isn't a bad thing, always.
Yeah, well, I mean, accounting software's been around for years. It's just, I guess, what we were doing was delivering it on a new platform. So historically, it's been on the desktop, you know, on one computer in the office.
Yeah.
Whereas now, on the internet, you can access it anywhere, and that, you know, gives real flexibility.
Sure.
And really helps business owners save time and work more efficiently. And when we first started, you know, there were two or three competitors at the time who had been going a year or two ahead of us, but because it was still early days in terms of cloud accounting software taking off, you know, they weren't that far ahead of us, and, you know, we've been able to make a very good business out of what we've done over the last 6 years.
Absolutely. Just in terms of the product itself and what it does, presumably it does a full suite of things that you would want any accounting program to do.
Yeah, I mean, it does all the things you need to do daily to get paid. So it creates invoices, emails them out. It's got auto reminders and prompts so that, you know, you don't have to remember to send your invoices. It just happens automatically.
Right.
Fabulous.
It does all your online VAT filing. You know, it does all the core sort of bookkeeping.
Yep.
And we're now taking it, you know, one of the things we're working on at the moment is to do that kind of end of year process with the final accounts and the tax and really completing that start to finish journey.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive system.
Okay, and can you, at the moment, can you produce management accounts on a monthly basis out of the product and stuff like that?
Yep, so you can produce management accounts. I think one of the great benefits of it being online is you can plumb data into the system.
Right.
So, for example, you know, we've got 8,000 customers that use ClearBooks, and we'd have to manually creating 8,000 invoices would be just a horrendous exercise.
Sure.
Each month. Mm. But we're able to take the payment data from when we, you know, take payment by debit card or credit card and automatically create invoices based on that, you know, based on that data. So all our sales are populated every single day automatically in our accounting system up to date every single day. We know what our revenue is. So you get to have that, you know, big picture view of what's going on in your business rather than waiting till the end of the year when your accountant, you know, hands over your accounts and you finally know how you've done in the year.
Yeah.
So
we lost how much? Where did that go then? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you just intimated there as well while you were telling me that you've been going 6 years and you've got 8,000 clients already?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I want to kind of broach this with you and get your feedback and feeling on this. I know, having started digital businesses myself many years ago, that it's not always easy to do that because people are a bit stick in the mud and they kind of like to stick with what they know and understand. Have you faced barriers because you're cloud-based with getting your message across to people?
I think so, but it's changing.
Yeah,
I think people are now embracing the cloud because they realise that, you know, everyone's using it all the time. Gmail, Hotmail, online banking, you know, all these services are web-based.
Your phone and stuff like that, yeah.
So it's becoming more prevalent. But in the early years, it was actually quite good because we had the early adopters, you know, people who were keen to try this new technology because they could see that it could save them time and make them more efficient.
Mm.
And actually that fan base of people wanting to kind of contribute to ClearBooks and help develop the product was invaluable for us because, you know, they were saying, you know, we need this feature, we need it to do that. And that kind of feedback loop really helped advance the system.
Mm.
Fantastic. And you're absolutely right. People are more and more used to cloud-based stuff now, and it comes as standard with a lot of products anyway. If you have an iPhone, it doesn't allow you to add memory. You have to use the cloud, otherwise you can't keep anything. So what's next? What's next for ClearBooks? Where are you going?
Well, it was interesting you talked about you know, funding earlier and the kind of this £50,000 loan scheme. So we took an alternative route to funding, and we kind of crowdfunded ourselves. We built our own crowdfunding platform. So rather than
as you do,
yeah. Well, we have the, you know, we're an innovative technology company, so we have the ability to do that. And really what was driving it was saving the kind of 5-6% fees that you know, a Cedars or a Crowdcube would charge. And they're perfectly good systems, and I recommend people, you know, go and try and raise money through them. But because we could build our own, we did. So we raised some money last year, and we raised some more this year. And the goal really is just to, you know, drive the awareness of the product, because we know we've got a fantastic product that works for 8,000 customers.
Mm.
And it's really just to raise awareness about that product.
Okay.
So for the marketing is where a lot of that spend will be going.
Okay. Well, coming back to your product just for a moment, is it aimed at a specific type of industry, or does it cover anybody?
It's quite broad. Mm. We have about 20% of our customers are in IT, which you'd expect because sure. they're the ones that are going to embrace yeah. The cloud first.
They're early adopters.
Yeah. But we have kind of lots of construction workers, you know, different types of trades. We've got marketing agencies. We've got restaurants, pubs. Really a broad spectrum of businesses using the software.
Okay. And currently, do you offer kind of multiple currencies and things like that?
We do. It's quite an advanced system. So, I mean, we've tried to keep it really simple, keep right. it jargon-free so it's easy to use. And that's what our customers say about the software, you know, it's simple and easy to use.
Want.
Yeah. But we do have the functionality, the kind of toggles to turn on to, for that advanced, you know, those advanced requirements like a fixed asset register or a multi-currency, which yeah. most small businesses probably, you know, don't need or won't use.
No.
But if you are a larger business, you know, you can use those features.
Yeah. Or you have Google Ad Choices and you have to then invoice them in Luxembourg. Yeah.
I was using a system, Wave. I don't know if you've heard of
Wave
it.
Wave Accounting, yeah.
And Dr. John set it up and then he got locked out of it. Because they're based somewhere in America, he could never get in again. There was no one to contact. So how easy are you guys to contact if there's a problem?
We have 9-to-5 telephone support. We're UK-based. I mean, I think that's the difference between us and someone like Wave. You know, they are based in the States, so our product's more tailored to the UK market. So all the kind of HMRC integration, with the payroll, all the kind of payrolls geared up to the UK. Mm. We've got a... One of the things when we raised money was, we raised it from our customers. So we crowdfunded ourselves and we got our customers to invest in the business. So it is very much about community and, you know, having that relationship with our customers that's important to us. So we're very approachable.
Excellent. Cool. How many of you in the office?
Team? We're up to 45 now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's a substantial business.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Substantial even.
What did I say?
Substantial.
Oh, posh. I've lost my thread now. Shut up.
45 in the business we were in.
No, I was going to ask something else.
For a good probably 2 years, it was a one-man band working from home,
yeah.
and that was me. So, you know, it's kind of just doubled every year and gained quite a bit of traction recently. So,
fantastic. I want to come back to your crowdsourcing, crowdfunding. You say you did your own. Do you still offer that? Or do you offer that to the public, or is it just something you use for yourself?
So far, we've just done it for ourselves just because of the rules have been tightened up on crowdfunding.
Sure.
So it would be more difficult for us to make that available to our customers. Although the way we've grown the business and the products that we provide our customers is by using the software ourselves and then going... So, for example, we started with accounting software. And then when I took on my first employee, needed to do the payroll, and that really triggered developing our payroll software, and then the same thing happened with HR. So we have kind of built our own software and then made it available to our customers to benefit from too.
Yeah.
So one day, wouldn't rule it out, but not currently in the kind of roadmap.
Cool.
And can people pick a mix, you know, of which bits they need?
Yeah, so you can, it's a pick and mix, yeah.
Fantastic. We could talk about this for a long, long time, but sadly we're kind of running out of time, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us today and telling us about ClearBooks. It sounds like a fascinating product. Mm.
I'm going to have a look.
I'm sure everybody else is going to want to have a look. So give us a shout out, so how we can find you, what your web address is, what your Twitter handle is, what your Facebook page is, and all that other stuff that you want to or don't want to give out.
Yeah, so Google, well, thanks for the reference there. But so Google ClearBooks or clearbooks.co.uk, and you can take a 30-day free trial and try the software with no obligation.
Fantastic.
There we go.
Fantastic. And you're on Twitter, aren't you?
We are.
At ClearBooks.
So all of the millions out there can follow you on Twitter. Tim, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been fascinating to hear your journey so far. We wish you much, much continued success. I'm going to have a look and see if we can use your stuff in some of our businesses, at least, if not all of them.
Exactly.
And, yeah, it'll be good.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to ask, which uni did you go to?
Nottingham,
thank you. End of my questions. I just like to know.
I don't know why she's asking this one.
I just
whatever.
Like to know.
Yeah, she's just nosy. Yeah, and he lives in Hammersmith, if you want to know.
Really?
Yeah.
We're based in Hammersmith in London, the company, although we have customers all over the country, including Kent. And we've got quite a good relationship with Kent University and take on a number of developers each year.
Right.
So we've got two at the moment, three actually, from Kent Uni.
Cool. Good stuff. What's not to like?
Yeah, creaming the best of the Kent Uni.
And why not?
People.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Do stay with us for the remaining part of the show. Tim Foraker from ClearBooks. Thank you. I think you can do another email. We'll do a couple more emails, a couple more tweets, and then we'll talk to our next guest.
I don't think I've done an email yet, actually.
Have you not?
My first. This is from the Federation.
You've been slacking.
I have been. The Twitter has been so busy, actually. Mm. I have been. You will see I've done a lot of work while you've been chatting.
Have you?
The Federation of Small Businesses. 2015 will be a very exciting year for business, they say. And it's vital that the voice of small and medium businesses is heard at this time. And the FSB, Federation of Small Businesses, is determined it will meet the challenge head on. You can join them at the AGM and help determine the shape of the programme of events, campaigns and lobbying activities, and representing the interests of 6,200 members across Kent through 2015. The guest speaker will be Mike Cherry, who's the National Head of Policy, and Hilary Steele, who's the editor of Kent Women in Business. Now, this is Thursday the 6th of November, so that's this week, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and it's at Oakwood House, Maidstone, and this is from Roger House, who's the chairman. You can go on to office.kent@fsb.org.uk, or you can phone 01 622 688 134.
Fantastic, thank you for that, Jules. Kent Business Tweet Ups have got a series of tweet ups happening over the next couple of weeks. In Canterbury on Wednesday the 5th, that's manana, from 10 a.m. I guess at the Miller's Arms Canterbury. Miller's Arms Canterbury is the Canterbury Tweet Up, and that's Wednesday the 5th of November. And then on Monday the 10th of November in Faversham, 9:30 to 11:30. And then Thursday the 20th of November from 10 to 12, Whitstable, that will be at the Hotel Continental in Beach Road,
On the seafront.
Out there on the seafront. And then Thursday the 28th of November from 10 to 11:30 at Lenley's Roper Road, Canterbury.
Where you can see Dennis Head of Beds.
Dennis Brophy, Head of Beds, will be there
and
with his voice sprung specials.
And you know what's going to happen?
No, what's going to happen? You're going to bounce
over
on the beds?
Well, no, I might have a snooze, because I've handed over my little wrap dress to the lovely Mark Reed,
Mark, HSBC. I know Mark. Yeah, he used to be my bank manager.
I've given up hosting Paul Andrews, so I've got more time for other
things. So it'll be good then this time?
Yeah, it will be.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's going to wear my, take on my wrap dresses and just...
Well, of course he would.
Why
wouldn't he?
So it'll be Mark Reed.
Is there a speaker at Lenley's?
There is, and it's one of Mark Reed's colleagues.
Okay.
To be announced.
Cool. I did make reference to this earlier, but I'm going to do it again. The Kent Deaf Children's Society have the Awards of Recognition and Achievement Party this Saturday, the 8th of November, and it's at the Hempstead House Hotel and Spa from 5 p.m. till late. You might still be able to blag a ticket. It's an evening dedicated to recognising and celebrating the achievements of young deaf people in Kent, the professionals and organisations that support them, as well as their families and friends. You can find out if there are any tickets left and it's allowable to go by emailing office@kdcs.org, or you can visit their website, which is www.kdcs.org. And they are also open for anybody that would like to donate a raffle prize. And I am going to that because I'm presenting the prizes.
Are you?
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. Saturday night, Kent Deaf Children's Society. Cracker.
There's one. Can you excel and give this a plug, please?
That sounds highly punny to me.
Spread the word and make a PowerPoint. It's free. So this is free networking lunch and seminar, anytime, any place, any device. Cloud computing with Office 365. And it's on the 7th of November, so that's this week. And it's at Innovation House, Discovery Park, Ramsgate Road, Sandwich, in Kent. And it's going to cover why you and your business need cloud technology, why you and your staff need any time, anywhere, any device, and why your clients need to see your business improve efficiency, reduce risk and deliver your promise. Also reduce cost as well. So they'll be covering Office 365, applications, power tools and time-saving tips. To book your place, you can call F-Keys, that's F-Keys, on 01634512345. And you can go on the Twitter, and it's at F for Freddie Keys, F-Keys. And that's from the lovely Alex Waterton.
Thank you for that, Alex. Right, do you know what? I think we'll talk to our next guest.
I think so.
What do you think?
Yeah, she's perched on the corner of the
chair.
Is
perched. She is perched
very
delicately.
Diligently.
She is perched, ready to swoop on her microphone. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our fourth guest of the day on the Business Bunker show, Sarah Jane Hebert Hall.
Well done.
Blimey. I had to gird my loins to do that, sorry.
I mean, Sarah Jane and then Hebert Hall as well.
Yeah.
Two double barrels, really.
Two double hyphens. That's class. That is real class.
I think my parents wanted me to learn my letters quite early.
Sarah Jane, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you
You're
very
from
much.
Computertel.
I am, yes.
The telephone recording service, amongst other things. You do lots of things. And we've put up a couple of small blogs that you wrote for us on the Business Bunker website.
Thank you very much.
And we've generated a couple of questions on here, which we'll get round to in a moment.
Jolly good.
But first of all, tell us a little bit in your own words about you and about your business.
Thank you. Computertel's been going now for nearly 26 years.
She doesn't look old enough.
No.
From the pram, obviously.
Absolutely.
Indeed, I joined when I was two.
Yeah.
The company originally started by maintaining call recording equipment in the financial, in the city.
Yeah.
So in those days, as of now, the FCA obviously regulate and they have to record all their dealings. So we then evolved once the...
I've got a cracking story about
you?
That, which I'll tell you off air.
Thank you. So... over the next, 10 years, obviously, the call centre environment then started tuning into the advantages of call recording. And so, subsequently, our marketplace then evolved into the call recording environment as well. So, that's what we've been doing.
Right.
So, we still, obviously, have banking clients, insurance, etc. But most of them now are linked to the call centre environment.
Right.
The business was obviously direct, first of all, then over time, obviously with one-stop shop for telecommunications equipment, we've had to obviously go via reseller routes. So we work with the lovely Telcare in Kent and other organisations as well, like Vodafone, Unified Comms, Siemens, who are now Unify, etc. And what they tend to do is when they sell a new telephone it's a telephone system, then they offer call recording at the same time.
Cool. I mean, I don't know a lot about where the market's gone now. My experience is when I was based in the city many years ago, and in those days it was very rare to have call recording, recording equipment because it was mostly illegal. And the reason we were allowed to do it in the city is because a lot of transactions were done by word of mouth, and it was the only record of a deal, basically, because a lot of deals were struck on Houghton Hollis systems, telephone systems.
Yes.
Basically, we were allowed to have call recording as the only record of the deal.
Absolutely.
Whereas you weren't allowed to record other phone calls. That, of course, has radically changed.
Yeah, big time.
Are there any restrictions on what you can and can't record any longer?
No, because now you can record mobile phone calls as well. So FCA introduced that a few years ago. So obviously the call recording now incorporates mobile recording.
Absolutely, because it is actually possible on some mobile phones to record straight off your mobile phone anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
So it'd be pretty hard to monitor otherwise. Okay. In your kind of experience, I want to talk generally about the marketplace first, and then we'll talk about specifically about the kind of products that you specialise in. Is there any particular, you've mentioned a few times call centres and customer contact centres and things like that. Is that primarily where your business is? Is that the primary user of most call recording equipment?
It is, probably because we go through the reseller route.
Yeah.
And obviously that's where their money is. But they also have a lot of local government. They also have a lot of medical centres. All the medical centres now start recording their calls, sadly for malicious calls and things like that. So, and also schools for the same reason. So call recording's definitely evolving and other businesses are looking at the advantages of it because, let's face it, it's a very impartial piece of equipment that tells you as it is. And if you think about how many phone calls you do in a day, accumulate that over a year, and how many times have you actually said, God, I wish I'd caught that call. What did they say? How did I get that information? And even if, I've got a great name, haven't I? Rather than having to keep asking people to repeat how to spell it, don't have to. You just record it, play it back until you've got that information.
Sure.
And then more radically for actual training purposes, there's nothing better than an impartial piece of equipment that can tell you how well or how badly you've done on
so
a telephone call.
You can listen back to yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's better than any line manager as well, because it's impartial. People are more critical of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you some technical questions, if I may. I'm just fascinated by how it works. Again, because I'm really old, and me and Noah used to do this on the ARC. Because technology has moved on now, when you record a call, do you have automatic recording if it's not blocked of the incoming number and things like that?
You can do. The information that you obtain from the call recording is dependent on what's being captured by the telephone system.
Right.
So it is a totally sort of passive piece of equipment.
Yep.
Depending on what you can pick up from the telephone system, you can then obviously use against to find specific calls.
Right.
So if the telephone system picks up the telephone number, for instance, you can search by that. And you also have little pieces of equipment or little pieces of technology that are called wrap-up manager.
So called what, sorry?
It's called wrap-up manager.
I need one of those for Jules. I need a wrap-up manager. Shut it, Jules. I've deployed me wrap-up manager.
You know what you do to shut me out?
What's that?
Just open a bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah, that's true.
Always works.
And a straw, yeah.
So the wrap-up manager, what happens is once the call comes through, it will pop up on the agent's screen and they can put in information based on the call. So you can either choose from a pull-down list or you can free text. So you can either link it to your CRM system, for instance, the customer relationship management system, or other useful information. So if it's in the sales environment, you can say whether or not it's a prospect, suspect, or whether or not you've lost a deal, etc. And you can utilise that information against the calls to find out more information about your business.
Fantastic.
Now, I have a little legal question. How are there any rules at the moment, Sarah Jane, whereby big companies, if they record you, how long can they keep those recordings?
Depends on the environment. FCA obviously regulate, they say, depending on the environment, you can have it for 5 years, 3 years, or whatever. Outside of that, then really it's up to you. It depends on what your compliance and your sort of regulations tell you to do, really.
And if you're missold something by a big company, such as I've been, I won't mention them, but it's Vodafone.
Okay.
Glad you didn't mention that and get us into trouble, Jules.
When I demanded to listen to the recorded thing, they wanted to charge me £10 to listen to it, which I thought was very rude, actually. And they said they'd listen back to it, and I definitely hadn't been missold, and then I said, well, I want to hear it, and they said it's £10. So is that legal?
It is legal. Unfortunately, the actual legal requirements, which if anybody's interested, you can actually get a link on our website that gives you the legal setup on it. As long as one party knows that they're being recorded and they tell people that they're being recorded. So for instance, if your business takes it up, they have to share it with their employees that they're being recorded.
Right.
You have to then allow at least one line that can be used for private calls that won't be recorded. And a lot of companies, you'll probably notice, will now put them on the bottom of their literature and headed papers, for instance, to indicate calls may be recorded for quality and training purposes.
So why are they
from an admin perspective, because obviously as far as they're concerned, it will take somebody an amount of time to find a specific call. If you think they're having Vodafone, for instance, in their call centre, will have thousands and thousands of calls.
Quite a lot of missold calls.
Absolutely. So they have people that obviously have to find that call for you. So they feel that they're justified in asking you to pay £10 for a bod to sit there and find the call.
Right. Yeah.
Even though I must hasten to add, if you use our equipment, it's really easy to search for calls, so it shouldn't take them that long at all.
Cool. I guess also I'm not normally helpful to companies like this, but in their defence, of course, if it was just open and they had to supply it every time, you could just bog them down forever by it's like freedom of information requests.
Absolutely.
There are some people out there that just do it for the hell of it because they've got nothing better to do, and they'll launch 1,000 freedom of information requests. And that takes time and money and things for people to respond to, and that's not fair if they're doing it maliciously.
I mean, it depends on how you use it. There's always a way to use the equipment. If you're open and impartial, then obviously you can actually say, I've got the call, do you want to listen back? Arguments are then sorted out fairly and quickly. Whereas obviously in a large organisation, possibly like Vodafone, if they have a number of cases, They probably have to. Yes, they probably do. They will have a dedicated member of staff that would have to do that. So it takes them off the floors to do their job, really. So whether or not it's right or wrong, I'm not sure. But yes, sure. Unfortunately, people do ask for admin charges.
Okay. We've had a question here on Twitter. What security elements should be considered when recording calls?
Well, depending, again, in the industry. So, for instance, there's a new regulation like PCI DSS. So if you use your credit card over the telephone, companies are not allowed to record that aspect of the call. So you're not allowed to record any of the long line on the credit card or the three-digit number on the back of the card. So from a security element, these things have to be considered when you use recording if you fit the mould. So for instance, in our case, we have a piece of software that sits on the PC. When you go to the website to add the information for the payment system, it will stop the call at that point.
Automatically,
until you leave that web address, and then obviously it'll start recording again. And if you screen capture as well, so some people will actually capture the screen as well as listen back to the call, so they've got a completely holistic view of what's going on.
Right.
It will freeze that as well until they come off of that page, and then it will start again.
Cool. This is all. I'm kind of fascinated by this because the news over the last couple of days, I don't know if you've seen it, is some bloke from CCGHQ
mm-hmm.
suddenly blurted out in the press yesterday that they want to shut the internet down. I'm paraphrasing,
right, but okay.
You know, effectively he wants to steal even more of our data.
Yeah.
And this morning everybody's been going mad about that because apparently CCGHQ will now record more data on everybody than the rest of the world put together already. So it's a fascinating thing, you know, to look at it in, without being rude, a smaller way for us rather than what they do at the Listening Centre in Gloucester.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that companies do that. And one can see why financial companies, one can see why call centres and things like that do it, you know, with customer interactions.
Yeah.
Do you have any instances of really small companies that do it just for the hell of it, just because it's a laugh or... I mean,
yeah, for training purposes as well. As I mentioned before, it's very impartial. And if you are a sales environment or you take lots of calls, it's a very quick and easy way of checking back to things.
Great for training because especially if you've got telesales and people are saying, one of the most annoying things people say, obviously, that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Because it's not obvious to you at all, as the customer, and they go, well, obviously. And so little things like that could be taken out of their spiel, couldn't
they? Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the systems start from two channels upwards, so it's open for any size business, basically.
Okay. I don't know if you can kind of look at this, but, I mean, is there anything else that you build around that looks at it. I'm primarily thinking one of the things that drives me mad, and I'll tell you a very quick little story about it in a minute, IVR boxes, interactive voice response boxes, which I think are the worst invention ever. Okay, only because of the way that they're deployed. I used to work as a management consultant, and there is a very famous company that makes most of the world's IVR boxes, and I laughingly did a consultancy assignment for them while they asked me to find out why their customers were giving them so much grief, and my report said because you use your own products basically and the customers hate it, and I went and that's because most people deploy those boxes as a weapon, as a way of stopping you talking to a human being by making you go round and round in circles. Do you have any processes or systems that help you track that from a quality point of view? You know, you were talking about training and stuff like that. I don't suppose you do, really, but
well,
the
call recording can kick in before or after the IVR. So if the system actually uses IVR, it can record it. So in our instances, we record our IVR once a call comes in.
Fabulous.
So it's quite good for feedback because a lot of people, as you've quite rightly said, will complain about it.
Yeah.
You've actually got it on record, and if it is affecting so many customers, they can do something about it.
Absolutely.
So from there on in, you can either record the IVR.
Oh, no, that's brilliant. That totally answers my question, because it's one of those annoying things that you get time after time after time. You ring a company, you get into their IVR system, press one for this, press two for that, it doesn't give you an option to press for the thing that you've got a problem with.
No.
Or if you're BT, and I don't mind mentioning BT, when you ring to tell them that your broadband's down and they've got a recorded message that says, go to our website and report it there.
Absolutely.
And you just want to scream swear words at them, really. I'm just hoping that's being recorded. Yeah. That's my only hope.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep, it could well do. It could well be.
Cool. Okay, again, it's another topic we could talk lots and lots
about.
Sadly, we're running out of time, Sarah-Jane. Thank you so much for joining
us
on the Business Bunk Show. Give us a shout for your website, your Twitter handle, and all that other stuff.
Okay, the website is www.computertel.co.uk, and we are at Computertel for our tweets.
Fantastic. And I'm sure hundreds of people will follow you.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, and thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
A fantastic thing to talk about because we hear it every day.
Yeah,
indeed.
Almost every phone call we make to anybody will come out with this. This call is being recorded for quality and training purposes.
Absolutely.
We all know the phrase, don't we? But you don't really think about the ins and outs of it.
Or if you do, you think of it as a big brother element, where in fact it can actually benefit a company. It doesn't have to be like that at all.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. No, fantastic. Great. Thank you so much for that. We've got loads of loads of tweets, loads of emails. Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes. Howdy from sunny Whitstable. I'm listening in. And also the Silver Squirrel is listening in.
Snake Hips?
No, the Silver Squirrel.
Oh, I've lost track.
Oh, no, it is Snake Hips. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say it slipped out.
Yeah.
There's a new Bible for small business owners. It's to be launched at Business Solutions Seminar. Business Solutions Seminar is in Maidstone, and it will be this launch pad for the new book, which is to help small business owners and entrepreneurs be more organised. And this informative session is aimed at small and start-up businesses and entitled Solutions, Not Problems. And it'll feature speakers from High Growth Kent, Invicta Chamber of Commerce, and Kent author of the recently published Business Bible, The Organised Business. This is held at the Orangery in Turkey Mill on Wednesday the 12th of November from 6 to 8. And I'm just seeing if there's a website, www.theorganisedbusiness.co.uk. And the book itself costs £9.99. But details of that are on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Diane Dupree, who is on Twitter as InvictaIP. Mm. And she says, Vanilla Web Business Bunko, just to say, I'm listening for the first time too. We draft and file patents and register designs.
Oh,
that's
very
interesting.
So
you can give Diane a follow on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is InvictaIP, all one word, InvictaIP. So thank you for listening into the Business Bunko show, Diane.
Absolutely essential for
There's
small
also
business.
Something going on, and I suspect that you might be behind it somewhere,
me?
Mrs. Serkin.
Me?
Yes. There's a conversation going on about ducks.
Oh, it might be me, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that might have been
involved.
You.
Yeah.
It's
that lawyer fair, he's
lawyer
stirring.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You should buy him a great big wooden spoon for
should
Christmas.
Should I?
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Lawyer Fair are a legal portal, and Andrew from Lawyer Fair was on the show some months ago, and he sent me a little gift after he came on the show and said I'd like to come back at some point. And a little gift was a corporate, their corporate logo is a duck in a barrister's wig. And he sent me a rubber duck in a barrister's wig.
Yes.
So when you go out of the studio, you will see that the duck is currently sat on top of the on-air light. I took a photograph and said, you are on air. And somebody's just reposted that by the look of it because
wild,
there's a rolling conversation about ducks now.
Yeah, it was me.
Sorry
about
that.
I was bored at the time.
Mm.
Trying to fill the air.
Mm.
Create is back. It's on Thursday the 27th of November, and it sees Fruitworks in conjunction with the University of Kent Business School, and they're hosting the fun free networking event. And you can go to fruitworks.co.uk.
No, .co.
.co. No UK?
No UK. .co.
.co, and you'll go on a /createisback, and that's Thursday the 27th. But I'm sure...
Free beer and pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Free beer and pizza.
Oh,
details
know.
On the website. Fruitworks.co.
How do you get rid of the UK then? That's exceptional. Very clever.
No. It's a top level domain for Columbia.
November's East Kent Women in Business or EQUIB meeting is on Thursday the 13th.
EQUIB.
is on Thursday the 13th EQUIB. Of November. It's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and it's at West Faversham Community Centre, which is opposite Sainsbury's, and there's lots of free parking, they say. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to give you the website, which is www.ekentwib.org.uk. See, they've got an org and a UK.
Absolutely. Kent and Victor Chamber have a full raft of networking breakfasts and other events. I'm going to run through them quickly. On Tuesday, the 11th of November, there's a breakfast meeting at the AMF Bowling Centre in Ashford. On Wednesday, the 12th of November, there is a breakfast at the Best Western Manor Hotel in Gravesend. And there's a guest speaker, Zoe Cairns, the importance of being social with your online activities. And that's on Thursday, the 13th of November at Maidstone Museum. On Wednesday, the 26th of November at the Canterbury Golf Club. Thursday, the 4th of December at the Dog and Bear Hotel in Lenham. And also on the same day, Thursday, the 4th of December at the Hollywood Bowl in Rochester. Chamber members £15, non-members £20, and that's a full English breakfast. And all those events run from 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. But my favourite ones of the Invicta Chamber events, because I don't have to get up early, is the After Hours Club. And the following After Hours Clubs are coming up tonight. That's the 4th of November at the Connaughtbrook Hotel in Ashford. Also tonight, the 4th of November, at the Nucleus Business Innovation Centre in Ashford. Tuesday the 18th of November at the Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury. Tuesday the 25th of November at the Best Western Russell Hotel in Maidstone. Wednesday the 26th of November at the Best Western Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne. You can find out about the After Hours Clubs, which will run from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. by going to the kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events website, or you can click on the link on the Kent Business Radio website.
We've had a tweet from Alimo Restaurant in Whitstable. They're just under the arches.
Hello, Ali. Hello, Mo.
And it's at Alimo Restaurant on the Twitter, and they're saying, "Cooey, Business Bunker, we're cooking up Moroccan style, and our Christmas parties are filling up, Paul Andrews."
Are they?
Yes, and
they're filling up me.
They're filling up.
I do like their food. They do fill me up with a bit of hummus and some tagines.
They've got a lovely Christmas Day menu, which I'm trying to persuade my family.
Tagine turkey, by any chance?
Turkey tagine, and they've got lovely green.
With roasted couscous and chestnut stuff.
A little stuffed camel, of course.
A little bit of stuffed camel goes down a treat at Christmas.
Lovely milk, perhaps. The Federation of Small Businesses have a North Kent Business Clinic. It's on the 12th of November. It's 5:15, Dickens World, Leviathan Way.
You can't say Leviathan, Chatham. Can you? Leviathan Jules can't Way. Say Leviathan, listener.
I hope Nurse Liz isn't listening in Maryland. Chatham, Kent. And you can mingle there with Neville Gaunt, who's the chairman. There is a number, 01622 688 134, and office.kent@fsb.org.uk.
Cool. That's it for today, really. I'd just like to tell you what's coming up on channelradio.co.uk for the rest of today. At 3 o'clock, we have Mr. Kevin Cann with a group of friends. And next week, he's got Mr. Holly Johnson on his show.
Wow.
But at 3 o'clock, Mr. Kevin Cann with a group of friends today.
That'll be relaxed.
Absolutely. Very good, Jules. That was quick, really. Following Kevin at 5 o'clock, Mr. Craig Avery, the ladies' favourite, with his stripy socks. And then at 7 o'clock, Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands. It's the Boys Down the Pub are back. Phil and Jonathan are back with Boys Down the Pub. And then it's a very special show at 9 o'clock. It's the second anniversary of the New Potatoes show.
Second anniversary.
18 tracks of the best hot potatoes from the last year. Mr. Jamie Andrews presenting New Potatoes show 9 till 11 o'clock tonight. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. But from us here on the Business Bunker show, I'd like to say a massive thank you to our guest, Mr. Martin Riley of Kent County Council, Mr. Jonathan Jenkin of the Nuclear Decommissioning Agency, Mr. Tim Foraker of Clear Books, Sarah Jane
Heber Hall.
HH.
I got it. Heber Hall. Yeah, of Computer Tell.
That's it.
Thank you so much. And a big, big thank you to today's show sponsor, Kennedy Scott. We will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous afternoon, and we will see you all soon.
Goodbye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.